week. I gotta mix it up.
No, that's true.
Actually, technically, it's day two, because I know calendars, like, the week starts on Sunday, but gotta be honest with you, my week starts on a Monday. What about you?
It feels like the week should start on a Monday.
Sunday is not the start of the week.
No.
I refuse to.
No. Whose idea was this?
I don't like it. I'm gonna change
it. I don't like it either. Do they go, maybe they go biblically? Remind me in the Old Testament when you get into to the Genesis part of the Bible.
Why are you asking me? You're the one who went to a Catholic school.
I thought you were
school.
A Bible scholar. Are you not a Bible scholar?
No.
No. I've told everybody I know that you're a Bible scholar.
I'm ashamed at lack of my Catholicism I know. What I have to ask my son Michael all these questions.
What do you know about the Bible? Tell me what you do know.
There must be two something. Books.
There are two books.
The New Testament and the Old Testament.
Well, that's a start. Yep.
Genesis is the first book of one of them.
Genesis is in the Old Testament. The New Testament begins with Jesus.
Oh. See, you know more than I do.
Jesus plus, and then pre-Jesus is the Old Testament.
Yeah. I didn't pay much attention at CCD.
No?
No.
What were you doing? Coloring?
No, I was looking through the desks of the Catholic kids right. that own the desk.
We had to put notes in our desk saying, hey, CCD punks, leave our stuff alone, because they would always rummage through it.
Yeah, and I would leave return notes.
I know, I got those notes.
That were less than nice.
No, they were horrible.
Yeah. What? That's just so stupid, the turf war. It was like we were the Sharks and the Jets from West Side Story, the Publix and the Catholics.
I don't think I would have attended CCD if I didn't go to a Catholic school. Because we had plenty of religion sprinkled into our daily regime.
You had probably way too much of it.
We had quite a bit. We had quite a bit. Now, our school wasn't so bad. I have friends that went to other Catholic schools, and they would go to church sometimes every day.
My husband did that.
Every day.
He went to Catholic schools and then Loyola Academy, which is also Catholic. So they did church all the time.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest with you, when you get it that much, I kind of think once you get out of there, you need a little break for a while, and then you come back to it, maybe.
Sometimes,
maybe not.
Not always. Yeah.
Having kids and having parents die are the first things that make you want to go back to your religion, at least for me. Not in that order.
They didn't have that effect on me. But I could see, I think that's why religion was invented, was for times like that where there's some void in your life and you go, somebody's got to help me through this. What's gonna make things right again? You turn to religion.
I agree with you.
Yeah. But like when my mom died, I think I've told you this, but.
And she was pretty Catholic, wasn't she?
She was, yeah. She wasn't deeply religious, but.
Did she go to church pretty regularly?
Yeah, every week. She went every week.
Oh, that's regularly.
Yeah. But so many people coming up to me at the wake and then the funeral saying, well, now your mom's happy because she's in heaven.
Yeah, that's
and she's,
not really a good
I
thing to say.
Yeah, that's not what I was looking for.
I don't know why we talk about religion often at the beginning of the stream a lot of times.
Because we're amazed that God let us have it. Because if I was God and I was doling out assignments, I'd go, no, they put in their time. We've heard from them.
They don't deserve any more time.
No, they get nothing.
But, you know, when you go up to somebody at a wake, it's just the most uncomfortable time for everyone involved. The guest, if that's what you call it, the visitor, never knows what to say. And now my friend Lisa said one of the best things, this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it does, and it's true, and that's a great thing to say.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, you know me, I talk myself into a circle sometimes. So you want to say sometimes, oh, my God, I know how you feel. I lost my mom. But it's like they don't want to hear about you.
Right, right,
right.
This
is their time to mourn.
Yep.
They don't need to hear my story. So you just hugs and, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. This sucks.
Isn't it interesting, though, that no matter where you go on the planet Earth, you know, and it's a vast, vast planet, but everywhere you go, they came up with some sort of religion that they went, we got to put something in place to just encompass all those times where you feel lost. We have to create some sort of belief system. Like no matter where you go on the planet Earth, they have some sort of religion and they also have some sort of beer. I don't know why. Anyway, we must create religion, and also beer would be nice. We should have some sort of beer also to drink.
Now, I can only speak for the Catholics, because that's what I am, and I don't know about the Episcopalians or the Presbyterians, but I know that God and beer go together, because it seems like every church event that they have, whether it be the Catholic Women's Luncheon, a lot of alcohol
There's
is consumed. There's like, you know, not poker night, but like Vegas night or something.
Sure.
At the church.
Yeah.
A lot of alcohol is consumed. So God and beer go together.
My kids went to, they started out going to a Catholic grade school, and then we switched them to a public grade school in fourth grade. And even my wife said, on paper, you go, who's probably going to drink more? You go, probably the public people, right? No, not even close. The Catholic people drank way, 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 way more than the public people.
I noticed this about the Catholic sanction. The Catholic school versus the public school. They partied way more.
Yes.
And they were more attractive.
Oh.
I got to tell you.
I hadn't thought about that.
I don't know if it was the uniforms that made people look more spiffy.
People love a uniform.
But it just seemed in our neck of the woods when I was growing up. I grew up in Brookfield, but the Riverside Catholics were partiers and great looking.
Well, did your church, like our church, had the wine several times during the year? I don't know. I can't figure out how they scheduled it, because usually you just got communion. But then once or twice a month, you had communion dipped in wine, in red wine.
I never had that.
Oh, we had that from the time our first communion was in second grade. So not second grade. That was just the wafer itself. But starting in either third or fourth grade, you also got a little bit of Merlot. the official wine of Jesus, Merlot.
I never got that.
Oh, yeah.
They did every once in a blue moon. Now it happens every week. They offered the chalice to drink the wine.
You could have, if you wanted it, there were some lines that had it and some that didn't, right?
But every once in a while, it seemed, when I was growing up. Now it's every week, and I don't want to partake. I'm a little, I don't want to share
drink
the glass.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, they would bring the towel.
That doesn't do anything.
I don't think it's not going to clean it
off.
It's
like taking your shirt and wiping it off of somebody's glass. Nah,
right.
I don't, I'm good.
Now, Eddie Benson, Wendy, had it figured out. On the days that we got wine with our Eucharist, he would always make sure he was first in line or second in line, and then instead of coming back to the bench, he would cycle back around and get himself a second sip. Genius.
If that's what he's going for, but think of all the lips that touched it in between his first and repeat.
Well, the way they had it was, it was a chalice in the middle that had wine, and then like a plate around it. So an altar boy would hold that for the priest, who would then take a Eucharist,
and dip it in
the wine, and give you a wine-filled Eucharist.
Boy, though, that was like an hors d'oeuvre. Our church never did that. I never had a dipped wafer.
You could
wafer.
Also get garlic shrimp. There was a line on the side where you go, you know what, just the garlic shrimp is all I want.
Can I tell you something? If they served garlic shrimp, you'd go back to church.
I might consider it.
That's like your dangling carrot.
Yeah.
They're serving garlic shrimp?
Oh.
I'm in.
What's the first show? I would like to see it. So my mom would be very upset as we explained to her we weren't going to go anymore. You know, because when we were little kids, we were forced to go with her. And then once we were allowed to make a decision, the decision for both my brother and myself were, you go and let me know what happens. Just throw some highlights at me. And she didn't like that at all. But then once I started dating Terry said, you know, it means so much to your mom. Why don't you and I go with her? So on some Sundays, not a lot, but every once in a while, she and I would go with my mom.
I bet your mom loved
it. It made
her
very happy. Yeah.
Well, you're a good boy, Bill Leff.
Nah, I didn't buy any of it. I wasn't into it.
See, that's the weird thing. I don't take the time like I should to go each and every Sunday, but when I walk out of Mass, I feel awesome.
How come? Why do you think?
I just feel good. I feel like I've learned something. There's a higher power out there. I leave wanting to be a better mom and wife person.
Oh.
It just gives me
you hope. Yeah.
Look at where the devil
brings you hope
went.
To carry on, to light up your day and fill your night with love.
All right, Didi Khan, thank you. But it does, and I think you've asked me before, if you feel that so good in that way when you walk out, why don't you do it more often?
Yeah, that's a good question, right?
My weekends mean a lot to me.
Oh, Yeah.
You know?
My mom used to pull this out. She'd go, oh, you guys don't like it now. When I was a kid and I went to Mass, it was in Latin. Good move. That's a language that that's only been dead for several hundred years.
Yet my kid took it in high school.
Oh, he did?
And he got a pretty great ACT and SAT score because it's like the root of all words.
It is, yes.
So I'm the only parent that tried to talk him out of taking Latin.
Yeah.
Other parents are like, oh, my God, I wish my kid would take Latin because it's just it's so helpful. And then if you go on to take Spanish or Italian, you're kind of ahead of the game.
It would help with that.
Yeah. Sure. And, you know, I said, oh, my kid wants to take Latin. And they're like, oh, we've begged our kids. And I said, really? I begged him not to. Yeah. But Michael wanted to take
Latin.
He
wanted in. All right. My mom would always explain to us that when she was a girl, the whole Mass was in Latin. And then she'd also tell us that whoever was celebrating the Mass...
The officiant?
Not the word I would use, but the word, the official word is celebrate the Mass. I would say, you know, move through it, but they say celebrate. So she'd say, they would do it in Latin, and it was always faced away from you. Like, nobody figured out, like, anytime there's a show of any kind, you're supposed to face the audience.
The audience.
It makes for a better presentation. But back then, they thought, no, it's better to face the altar. So you would just see the guy's back the whole time speaking Latin.
Dominus, Lidicus, la la la, I don't know anymore.
Wait, that's not real Latin you're saying? Oh, you had me fooled. I thought you just ordered a Domino's.
Domati.
Domati pongo. Amen.
And Jim went to Mass. Again, he did 12 years of Catholic school where he had church so much.
12 years.
That he needed a little break. But then, you know, when the kids are getting baptized in the communion, it means a lot to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think eventually it will mean a lot to them. Both my boys are finally confirmed, so I'm finished.
Yeah.
But Jim didn't like when everybody started holding hands for the Our Father. He goes,
how come?
He just doesn't, he wants to sit in his pew with his family and just kind of maybe nap.
Oh, napping?
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I do catch him with his eyes closed once in a while. But then, you know, everybody comes together and holds hands. And I love that because you know me.
It's crazy.
And so he always like rearranges things. So he sits, he always uses each boy as a buffer.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to hold a stranger's hand. And I'm like, that's just not the true spirit of what it's all about.
Right. But it is weird holding hands with a stranger.
It's not that weird.
It's also weird skipping with one after the Mass.
That might be a little weird.
I got to stop doing that.
But the peace be with you, you always shook someone's hand.
You did, but even that was weird, kind of, you know? And my brother and I would do this thing where, you know when there's enough room on the bench where somebody could potentially sit by you, but you don't really want them to?
That's when manspreading started.
That was the beginning of it.
It was.
I swear to you, especially, you know, in Chicago, so it's cold most of the year. So you'd sit there in a coat, and you'd pretend you were larger, like a blowfish,
right.
So that some guy couldn't come in. Is anyone sitting? Oh, a fat boy, is anyone sitting by you? Just me. There's no room for you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's supposed to be togetherness, but I think since people started holding hands for the Our Father, it's warmer in there.
You think it is, really?
Yes, because people kind of, you know, it just seems, and this is very unfair, but when I was a little kid, in my opinion, you had families and old people by themselves.
Yeah, there was
that.
Right.
So, you know, you'd turn around as a little kid to shake, you know, peace be with you, and it would be like this woman who was elderly and who didn't look very friendly, so you were kind of afraid.
Right. Right.
But now it's like...
You think she's a witch.
Well, you might. She's going to fatten me up and put me in the oven. At least no one will sit in my pew prior to this.
Right, that's true.
But now it's like you come in and they say, you know, good afternoon or good morning, and you say it back to the priest, and then they say, please greet your neighbor.
Oh, they say it that way?
Yeah, so now it's like you turn around, it's like, oh, good morning.
Hello, neighbor. Do you say it like that?
No, I just say good morning. So you kind of break the ice then.
Yeah.
And then you're going to hold hands for the Our Father, and then the peace be with you is good to go.
I don't want to just hold anyone's hand. I want to...
Well, you don't...
You have to develop a relationship with me before I hold your hand in public. What if I was in a movie and I just went to the guy next to me? This scene is really emotional. Would you just hold my hand during this? Hey, it's Mission Impossible. Why is this emotional? I just like to hold hands. Just hold hand. You can't just hold my hand? Come on, selfish. That would be the weirdest
thing. You
should
try that.
I'm going to do that.
It's an experiment.
I'm going to do that. I know we don't know each other, but just for the sake of the community, can you just hold my hand, please?
Well, that's different than church. It is
the same, but it's different. All right. There was a family that used to come in St. Damon. Now, keep in mind, this is the early 1970s, and everybody dressed like it was the 70s, because it was the 70s. So every week, this family would come in from one of the more rural areas, because Oak Forest is very suburban, but there's farmland fairly close by. So sometimes the farmers would hop in the car and they'd drive into Oak Forest and go to church. So this family came in. It was mom, dad, two brothers, and a sister, and they were right out of the early 1950s. The way they dressed, the way they carried themselves, their haircuts, the woman's makeup, it was 1950 when they walked in. And, you know,
very
it's church.
Very prim and proper.
Oh, like you
but
can't
dressed
believe.
Nicely.
Dressed beautifully, but by 1950 standards.
Yeah.
And you could see everybody, like, just watching them going,
who are these
people? What kind of Outer Limits episode is this, you know? But it's church, so you would you have to be very accepting. But to this day, I don't know. I mean, I know that everybody's fashion sense is a little bit different, but these guys were, like, 25 years behind the time. It's amazing.
Well, it was vintage. That was, you know, that's what
maybe,
we do
right,
now.
Maybe they figured it out.
Yeah. And our church, honestly, I mean, kids come in baseball uniforms and then go right to a game.
Right.
And I love that because then it's like, I know we've all come to this nation of, you know, the very first time I flew, I was a junior in high school and I picked out my plane attire, which was one of the dressiest outfits I was bringing with to Hawaii.
Right.
And everyone dressed better. I mean, in the old times, the baseball games, everyone dressed so nicely. And now it's like, we're schlubs. A bunch of us are just kind of casual.
Very casual.
But I like that at church because it's like God doesn't care, you know, he doesn't need your Sunday go to meeting clothes.
Yeah.
He just wants you to go.
Do the kids who wear the baseball uniforms also wear spikes?
No, tennis shoes or gym shoes,
and then they switch when the mess is over?
And you see kids in soccer uniforms.
No.
Some, not usually sweatpants. Like no one's
that's too
going
casual.
There sloppy.
Right.
But, I mean, if a lot of times, you know, families will go there before practice or something.
There were times in school, like they switched the rule in our school because we had uniforms. But if you were a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout and you had a gathering
meeting that day or
you
something.
Were allowed to wear your Cub Scout or Boy Scout uniform. And I felt like I was a soldier. I felt, you know, I felt like finally I'll be getting the respect that I seriously deserve because I'm wearing a uniform.
Did you get punched more that day?
No, I got punched the exact same amount as normally. But you felt like, you know, I'm an enlisted man. I'm
and it was
around.
Different. You know, you really stood out. You were an original.
Yeah.
With the 18 other boys in your class that had their uniforms.
Yeah, they all had theirs on. But I felt like a teacher couldn't, like if a teacher wanted to call me out on something, I would just like point to the badges and go, really? You want to talk? Look at these merit badges. You want to challenge me? I made a fire outside with rocks at one point. So what do you got?
Oh, well, look at you. You sewed on your own patch. You got a badge for that.
Yeah, they give you a badge for everything.
Oh, boy.
All right. We will talk to Judy Pilak in just a little bit and find out what's going on in the news and then more of this sort of behavior. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. We are on the stream, the bonus hour, the stream of consciousness. Bill Leff unplugged, unleashed. I'm sorry. You're not jamming, are you?
I'm not. No, I'm not going to jam today. No. Nope.
And we've got Miss Bullseye with us, Judy Pilak.
You guys enjoying that candy?
Judy, you brought up the candy. This candy almost killed me once in my life. Do you know that?
It's my favorite candy.
That's why she gave it to
you. You almost lost an eye because of a bullseye.
No, listen to this. Worse. In high school, we were all in the cafeteria, and I had bullseyes. And
again, this is high school. Remember this?
This is high school. I was a junior in high school. You know the center of the bullseye, the creamy filling? All right, so I had it in my mouth. I pushed that part out with my tongue. And
practicing for his date that night.
You know, that's a perfect mechanism.
A cherry.
Jasmine, can you write down the time of day?
Yeah, I wrote down the time.
12:33.
Got it.
All right, thank you.
Oh, just wait till she sees me tonight.
So. That's dirty.
Okay, what happened?
Exactly what Wendy said.
No.
All right, I pushed out the white part with my tongue, and it got the caramel part got lodged in my tongue, and I couldn't
breathe
in my throat. It totally covered up my wind. I couldn't. I couldn't breathe at all.
I mean, and eventually it would have, you know, because it dissolves. It's just sugar and water.
It would have taken 4 days for that to happen.
This was on a Monday.
But
karma would have been worse.
So my friends were at the table. I got six guys at the table, and I'm trying to, it was like we were playing charades. They're like, it's a book. No, it's not a book. It's a movie. It's not a movie. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't breathe. I'm pointing, and they think I'm messing around,
and they're
loving it.
That was before the universal, I'm choking.
I tried what you're doing, that choking thing.
The two arms around your neck.
I had to pull out a Chicago Bears calendar.
Who rescued you?
I'm pointing at the Bears. Are you choking? Yes. Yes, I'm choking. That's what the Bears represent. So I Heimlich'd myself. I remember in class they showed us how if you were by yourself and you were choking.
Lean over a chair.
Yeah. And I did that, and I dislodged it over a chair. I saved my own life.
No one else to do it.
And my friends wouldn't do it.
What in God's name? Did you pick it up and eat it again?
Yeah. Because I do love
5 second rule. Yeah.
Right. By that time, I already chewed it. It would be ridiculous to waste it. Come on.
ABC food already been chewed.
And I'm surprised you ate that bullseye, because I don't know that I would ever eat another bullseye.
I've made amends with the bullseyes. We're friends again. But
you just keep the middle in.
I don't push it out with my tongue at all anymore.
You know, I'm going to go right in the newsroom and do it.
Don't even look at me. All right, news time. Here is Judy Pilak.
Well, we're going to...
I'm sorry. Here's Judy Pilak.
Judy, a quick question. You mentioned that formerly Rudolph Giuliani, well, that's what it says on his birth certificate. He gave the wrong murder count for Chicago. Said there were 67 murders in the last week or something. Is that what he said?
This weekend.
Where was this?
Because maybe there were 70 people who were wounded.
Yeah, there was a lot of shooting going on this week.
And maybe he misspoke. Yeah. Well, he obviously misspoke.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But then again, he also called Jerry McCarthy, as he was promoting him for mayor.
Yeah.
Well, that's usually if you're promoting someone, you want to get their name right.
Yeah, it'd be better.
I mean, I would like people who promote other people for office to actually know them.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I know, you know.
You're asking way too much.
Endorse them.
My standard's like up here.
Did you see this kid in Minnesota who threw another kid? This was at a water slide in Minnesota. And the kid, the 18-year-old, thought that the line was too long. So to prove his point, he picked up an 8-year-old kid and threw him off the platform. Did you see this?
No.
I heard about it. I didn't watch the video.
30 feet down. The kid was...
Into the water?
No.
Into the pavement. It was the platform. They were waiting to get on the water slide. And
how old was the kid who threw the 8-year-old?
18. Which was going to be one of my questions was, because they keep showing this kid who did the throwing... And they name him and say where he lives and stuff. And I'm pretty sure that if he was a couple months younger, if he was 17, I don't think they can do that. But at 18, you go, that's an adult.
Yeah. And I mean, is he charged as an adult?
Yeah,
obviously, because that's why I don't think you could put his name out either unless he's charged as an adult.
Right. An 8-year-old boy suffered multiple broken bones when an 18-year-old allegedly picked him up and threw him over the safety railing of a water slide in Minnesota, causing the boy to plunge about 30 feet. The teenager, 18-year-old Roman Alexander Adams of Maple Grove, Minnesota, was arrested, charged with third-degree assault in the incident that took place on Tuesday. Adams was behind the boy in line at the water park, but the individuals did not know each other, according to police. Questioned at the scene by police, Adams, who was in the park accompanied by a female professional personal care attendant, exhibited some developmental disabilities, according to police. The male gave a statement that the line was moving too slow, and so he picked the boy up and pushed him over the top of the slide platform.
Who does that?
Wait, who had the disabilities?
The kid who was thrown over.
Oh.
And he had a caretaker who was not in line with him, and that's my question, first of all.
Why wasn't the caretaker in line?
Especially a 31-foot platform.
Right.
But... Who knows what his disabilities were? Maybe he was, I mean...
If I was a parent...
Whose things are going to get thrown off of a platform?
Nobody.
You know? Yeah.
No, but I still...
That.
Those lines are so long. If I had a caretaker for one of my kids, I'd expect the caretaker to be with the kid.
But then you'd probably have to go down the slide. I'm just wondering if there were some...
There's always an exit for babies like me who wait in line and then decide they can't go on the ride.
Are there? Okay.
He understood that doing that was going to cause harm to the individual. He knew that by throwing him over, He knew that the individual was going to get hurt. He shouldn't have done it, and he admitted to picking the kid up and pushing him over, according to the police captain on the scene. Adams has not entered a plea and will make his first court appearance on September the 17th. A spokesman for the county's attorney's office said, People magazine put in calls to Adams' attorney, but they were not immediately returned.
You saw That's video so of him throwing him off?
No, I haven't seen video of it.
I don't see that.
There's
either.
Pictures of the of both boys, of the 18-year-old who did the throwing and the 8-year-old who was thrown over the platform. But, wow, that's the wrongest way to possibly handle that.
Yeah, it just seems like there's more to that story.
Yeah, yeah. Horrible.
Horrible.
But I always remember in the past, whenever somebody was around that age, like I guess 18 is the line where you go, that's an adult who should probably know better. But even at 17, you know that picking up a kid and throwing him over a platform is not...
We're both incorrect. 18-year-old Roman Adams threw the boy over, and investigators later learned that Adams has cognitive disabilities.
Yeah, that's why I was asking.
And that a personal care assistant was with him at the park, but not in line with him.
No.
From the slide. So that changes things. And that's
for the worse, because now that's going to be an issue. But why wasn't the caretaker there?
But if you have a caretaker, I mean, I'm sure the parents or whoever has arranged this is paying this caretaker. There's a reason there's a caretaker there. So
they should be by the kid
all the time.
Yeah.
I have a developmentally disabled daughter. I don't agree.
But do you have a caretaker?
But I mean,
her?
I'll call him a caretaker. I mean, caretaker, that's a pretty broad term, too. To someone who's with him because he needs to have someone. But I'm saying there are different, you know, levels of function.
Exactly.
Sure.
And and you're constantly pushing your kids to challenging them to go and be more independent. So I don't I'm saying I get it. He's 18. If he's high functioning and why couldn't he go up the stairs? It's not like my daughter would have an issue with that because she has physical, you know, balance problems. But someone who just has the cognitive issues, I don't know that. I'm not saying that should even have been an issue.
No, but I mean, wouldn't you wait in line with them or have one of your other kids wait in line with them? I don't know. I don't know, again, how severe these disabilities are, but I just feel like if you have a caretaker who's with them, there's probably a need for it.
Right.
If you're the parents of the kid who was thrown over.
Oh, my God.
How much does the story change if this guy, if the 18-year-old had developmental problems?
You know, and police were saying he knew what he was doing. He knew it would hurt him. But still.
Yeah, but that's tough to just...
He may have known that superficially, but not, he could have died.
Right. Oh, yeah. Honestly,
he did survive, by the way.
But
yes.
Think about how horrible that could have... Depending on the way the fall goes, if he falls head first into the platform below, that's the end.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, and I can't speak for the parents of this 8-year-old because I don't know them, but I know that some people would be like, it doesn't matter if he has cognitive disabilities. Your kid injured mine. You know, you should be watching him. But we don't know unless we were there. It's just a tragic accident.
Yeah, it does matter.
Slash situation.
Different. Right. That makes the story all very different.
It changes
different.
It a little
yes.
bit.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, there was a boy on our block named Scott who had all kinds of problems, developmental problems. And he was a terror. I mean, if you were outside and this kid was coming, you knew there was going to be a problem. It was a given all the time. And his parents would always say, whatever Scott did, that, you know, if your parents came to them and said, look, because he was a biter, he used to bite kids all the time and scratch them and stuff, and they'd always go, he's got developmental problems.
Oh,
you can't,
that is
you
so
cannot
unacceptable.
Put this on Scott.
No.
But it was like a daily occurrence.
No, we could put that on them, though,
exactly.
For not getting him the help he needs.
I thought so, too.
Ugh, that drives me
It's not necessarily
bonkers.
His fault, but his parents should be helping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how long, this is when you were growing up?
Yeah, when I was in school.
Because that's something too. No one knew what to do or how to get the help they needed. It's still difficult, yet it's so much better than it used to be.
Yeah.
If you had a kid who was challenged, a lot of times families didn't even know where to turn or what to do for help.
Right. Yeah,
well,
that's
he was,
true.
Like I said, I was one of the only kids in the neighborhood that never got bit by Scott. Every kid
would
in the neighborhood.
Would you have candy in your pocket and you would just say, hey, Scott,
throw
it over like a little
you
bird.
Can either
I got
bite
a
me,
bullseye for
you.
You
can have some Fizz Whiz.
I would choke myself on one of these.
Here's a bullseye, and I would suggest that you try to get that white middle out.
Yes. It's not safe, my friend.
And don't even chew it. Just swallow it.
Right. It's fine. It's fine.
But he never bothered you, but you witnessed him hurting other kids.
Oh, all the time. No matter where you were, if Scott showed up, you go, the end of fun. Well, yeah. Here we go. There's going to be a problem, you know? So he'd bite you. He also would do this thing with his bike where he would come up. You didn't know he was coming. He would just ride his bike full force into you. That was like a fun thing for him. So again, your parents would go to his parents. Hey, look what he did to my son. Hey, what do you want us to do? He's got all kinds of problems.
I didn't know what to do,
though. I was so aware of my daughter always. Always. Mm. I mean, as a parent should be.
People know.
Yes.
People sometimes choose to look the other way, though. It's just a strange thing.
Oh, yeah. It is a strange thing. Either they don't care, or
they don't admit there's a problem.
Or they don't admit there's a problem, or they know there's a problem, and they're like, you need to deal with it, too, just like I do. And it's so unfair.
That's not how it goes.
You need to understand it. But no way do you need to be bit or driven into by a bike.
Right.
Totally unacceptable.
Right.
I mean, I would never allow that behavior.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Keely was always so good that she would mimic bad behavior, and they'd always have to move her around. From
class really?
To class. Yeah. Because she was so she was didn't
learning
do
from
it.
Her peers.
Oh yeah, so she would do some. Strange
I used to be really nice till I started working with Bill.
That was the end.
I know.
The beginning of the end.
Now I can't even tell the difference. Wait, Bill? Which one are
you? I don't know who's who anymore. Did you see who's retiring from show business, Wendy?
Yes, but I can't remember.
Robert Redford.
Oh, yeah.
He's not going to act anymore. He says his acting days are over. I'm one of those guys who, even as a kid, I loved Robert Redford on screen. And you go, well, yeah, he's just handsome. I always thought with Robert Redford that he probably would have been more well-respected if he wasn't so handsome.
Yeah.
You know, because he's
a
just
good actor.
So good. He's such a good actor.
Yeah.
Such a good actor.
But is he like 90-ish?
He's 81.
Oh.
He's 81.
Oh, he's still kind of young.
One Last Job. It's the theme that powered Well, it's funny you say that. You know, his son, Jamie, has been on with Wendy and me twice. And we were talking about the trajectory of his dad's career. And he said, I'm more proud of him now for the roles he's taking now, because for a long time, he couldn't be anything but the handsome leading man. That's all Robert Redford could do, because he was so good looking that you go, I can't put him in a villain role. Like, he's just too good looking. And he goes, now he's taking roles that we're so happy to see him taking, because they're more challenging for him.
Like what? I don't know what was the last thing I saw Robert Redford in.
God, he was really handsome, and still as an elderly man, still good looking.
Yeah, he is.
Not only that, but he had that, you know, his charisma was ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was off the charts.
Yeah.
You know, just the way he looked, just the way he smiled, you were like, kind of like Paul Newman, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And those two together,
beautiful.
And,
oh, my God.
I know, right?
You know what you have to see him in? There's a movie, boy, it's so funny, because the movie is so relevant now, and they never could have guessed what today would be like when they made this movie in the 70s. But he's in a movie called The Candidate.
He's great.
Oh, he's so good. He's just so good.
All right, I'm going to go.
It's a guy that doesn't necessarily want to run for office, and in all reality doesn't stand a chance. But then things happen throughout the movie, and all of a sudden he stands a chance. He's a legitimate option. And he's in it with Peter Boyle. He plays his campaign manager.
Is it a comedy?
He doesn't play Frankenstein in this. He does
not
play
Frankenstein. Is it a comedy? Dramedy?
I think you'd say more of a drama than a comedy. There's some good moments, funny moments in it. But, he's so good.
Oh, good.
And you mentioned Newman. The two movies he made with Paul Newman.
The
Sting. Butch Cassidy and The Sting.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I know.
All right,
he's been acting.
The Old Man and the Gun has been completed. He acted in it and has done a ton of producing in the last several years. Our Souls at Night, he was in a movie 2017, Pete's Dragon, and then
the remake of Pete's Dragon,
done all these production things in the last year or two.
But
American,
you know,
Epic.
Weird? He hasn't really directed much. Like, right out of the box, his first movie was Ordinary People, and he won the Academy Award.
Such a great movie.
It's he totally
so sad, but it's so great.
It's amazingly good.
Yeah. But, like,
you guys know that Bob Coyne was in that movie, right?
Yeah, from our sales department.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a very important role. Yeah.
Yeah,
he played their son who died.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah.
The movie's been out
The movie opens with that, so I think we're good.
Timothy Hutton's brother has a mishap, and he's
on the lake.
He plays mishap. yeah.
No, and so Bob Coyne played Hap.
But yeah, he was. So, like, right out of the box, he directs this epic movie, this great, great movie, and you go, well, he's a force to be reckoned with forever as a director now. But I don't think he directed much of anything after that. He produced a bunch of stuff, but I don't think he directed.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know what? Clint Eastwood has directed a ton of stuff.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, but you're right. Robert Redford, not so much.
I wonder why. He's so good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, he says that's it for him for acting. In an interview with Entertainment Weekly, the 81-year-old actor confirmed that he was making good on his 2016 claim that he'd be retiring from acting. The Old Man and the Gun, the one you just mentioned, Wendy, is the last film in which he will act. That makes me so sad because I don't know what would have come. I mean, he's 81 years old right now, so you go...
And still in good shape, so 80 is the new 60. Seriously, there are a lot of 80-year-olds that are still making movies and doing stuff.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of plastic surgery.
Has he?
Yeah, if you look at some of them, and you know what? I don't fault him for it. He's in show business. You want to, you know, keep looking pretty good, but there are some pictures. And it's not just all about, he's left some wrinkles, but his whole shape of his face looks entirely different.
Is he not as handsome?
Well, he's still pretty handsome, but it's like...
And you know what, though? Think about it. His age, I mean, that he was forced to play the leading man. He's used to playing the leading... You know what I mean?
Sure.
Not that he couldn't play... Right. But maybe it's just his comfort zone, and maybe he's done it enough.
But it looks like he may have stopped getting some of the treatments. There's various pictures, but, boy, some of the younger ones... I'm not really into blondes that much, but, God, was he good looking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you ever see 3 Days of the Condor with him in it? It's a spy movie. That's really good. Barefoot in the Park is a comedy he did with Jane Fonda 1,000 years ago. Electric Horseman, he's good in. What's the one in Las Vegas? What was the movie he did in Las Vegas? The name just went right through me. Bless you, Jude.
Well, look it up because there are some pictures where it looks like he's had some eye surgery. And again, it's fine. That's what he does for a living. He has to look good. But it's like it doesn't look like him anymore.
Right.
You know?
That's always
Indecent Proposal?
Indecent Proposal was the one in Las Vegas.
That's a really good movie.
Is that the with I'll Give You $1 Million?
Yeah, Demi Moore,
Woody Harrelson.
Right. Yeah, that's it. I couldn't think of the name of it. Indecent Proposal. Yeah.
That was a pretty good movie.
I can't think of anything he's ever been in where when it was done, I went, boy, was he horrible in that. He's always...
The good guy?
Not always.
I'm trying to remember a movie where he wasn't... I mean, I guess you could say in Indecent Proposal, he wasn't the most upstanding citizen because he's...
But he's never done embarrassing work? Is that what you're saying?
I've never seen him in anything where I walked out of there going, God, Robert Redford ruined that movie. You know, and then when Jamie...
Oh, you mean a bad acting job.
Right.
He's always solid.
And then when his son comes in, Jamie, he looks so much like him, but...
Who's his mother, Jamie?
Robert Redford was married to a woman for years and years and years. I think her name, was it Shelby or something like that? She wasn't an actress. Nobody notable. And then they split up about 20 years ago, and I think he's been married once or twice since then.
He's appeared in more than 45 films and has directed 10 of them.
Oh, that's a lot higher than I would
have
thought.
Yeah, that's more than what we thought.
Yeah.
And Entertainment Weekly has...
Well, when you start off with an Academy Award, it's pretty hard to go up from there.
Right.
These are his favorite movies that he's been in. Barefoot in the Park, 1967. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 69. The Sting... God, I loved that movie, 1973.
The guy who directed the two Major League movies that I was in, David Ward is his name. He's the guy who wrote The Sting.
Really?
Yeah. So one day at lunch, I said, just tell me everything about what that experience was like. And he said, those two guys together, he goes, just to have one guy in the movie, if we had either Robert Redford or Paul Newman, that would have been a magical experience. He goes, but those two guys together just had this chemistry. And I mean,
you could see it.
It's so there. Butch Cassidy was the start of it, but when they were in The Sting together, maybe because they already knew each other's moves, you just watch them on screen and you go, this is how it's done. These two guys together, they get it. They know how to do it.
And it's funny because usually it's a guy and a girl.
Yeah,
chemistry.
A lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, who else can you name that had such chemistry like that on the screen?
Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob.
Who?
Yes, I was right. Yeah. I confused myself. Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith movies.
I was kidding.
You know, it was
two,
like...
That's a good question.
Well,
two
like,
guys...
Yeah,
well,
two or two girls. I mean, the same sex. Usually it's
Hope
the
and Crosby
opposite.
Together, even though those movies are kind of... You know, they don't hold up as well as they should. They also, they understood the give and take of two guys in a movie
maybe
together.
Maybe Dean Martin and
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, I guess. But not
working
like,
now.
Not like Red
Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller, Wendy, for sure. Chang and Ang Bunker.
Oh, God. We got to go. It's time. He's pushed it to the limit once again. The left unleashed.
All right. Judy, thanks for hanging out and not throwing at me anything at me when I said Chang and Ang Bunker. We'll take a quick break and then close things off. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
R-O-E. Ro will be on later this afternoon on 720 WGN.
R-O-E Ro?
Yes. R-O-E Ro. R-O-E Ro.
B-I Bicky Bye. B-I Bo Bicky Bye.
B-A Boo Bicky Bye Bo Boo.
Wendy, guess what? It's over. Today's show has come and gone.
I don't want to go.
No, you have to go. We got Adam Hogue coming up next.
No, he doesn't do that
anymore. This is an old script. This is from last year. I'm sorry. Sorry, Adam Hogue fans. You'll have to be patient. We'll get him something. We'll find something for him.
Well, the Bears are heating up, so he'll be back in business.
Yes, don't touch them. They're hot. All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. Tune in again tomorrow. Lots more fun. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.